Father, thank you for another opportunity tonight to come together to talk about our families, the way we communicate with one another, the way we reflect the obedience of Christ as the Son. I pray that tonight as we work through this that you would help me to teach this in a way that is real practical, but also very true to your word. And so I just ask for your help tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, I got a cool clicker tonight. Never had one of these, first time ever, so I get to work through all of this stuff. And so a little background. I know most of you guys, but a lot of you guys I don't know. So this is the family. We have 8 kids, 7 are daughters, 1 son, and we just had number 5 grandchild. So pretty cool, pretty full quiver. I'm not sure what a full quiver looks like, but that's ours right there. We need a bigger TV if we wanted to get much bigger. And so Sherry was going to come tonight, and then our oldest daughter, Maria, was saying, man, I really wish you could come to Jacksonville. And so that was pretty much all she needed to hear. And so she's in Jacksonville with some of the kids as well. So what I want to do is the idea behind family talk really is when you just look at how you go to Walmart or something, and you see how kids talk to their parents. It's appalling. And you see how the parents talk to the kids. And then you watch, like, husbands and wives and the way they communicate with each other, and you think, what are we doing? Because this is in public. And if this is in public, imagine what they'd say in private. And so what I wanted to do tonight was really do 2 sessions. With the first session, we're just going to lay a foundation. And so you're probably thinking, okay, I want the tools. Like, what do I do right now, right? That's not the first session. That's second session. But the second session doesn't make sense without the first session, okay? We'll take a short break in between, finish up the food, and this is something we could have easily done 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, no doubt about it. And the more I went through it, I kept thinking, oh, we should add this, and then we should add this, and what about parenting styles? So I don't say anything about parenting styles, and what about the battle with kids when parents are trying to get them ready for school or getting them up for church? Because that's a huge issue. And I realize you just can't cover everything. You know, what about all the problems that moms and dads have and husbands and wives as they're communicating with each other and they're shutting up or blowing up, and it's just like, man, what a mess we've gotten ourselves into. This is an important subject, though. And when I do our marriage seminar, we actually spend 2 full sessions just talking about communication and conflict resolution. And so easily we could say, let's do a week on kids fighting with each other. Right? Or what about, because this happens even in our house too. Like, people go, man, your daughter is so sweet. Like, she is so nice, and she plays with all the younger kids in our family. And I'm thinking, not in our family, she doesn't. You know, and you go, oh, thank you so much. You go, wow, that makes me feel so good. Except, like, what happens? It's almost like they walk in the door, and Satan just goes, I'm going to possess her, you know? And it's like, man. So we could easily spend a whole bunch of sessions doing that stuff, right? But we can't because we don't have the time tonight. So we can't cover everything. But it seems like when I look at families that so much has changed in our world. But they haven't, I don't think. I mean, families are falling apart now, I think, more so than when I was a kid. Marriages are ending at a record rate. Kids are rebelling more so. Parenting's become harder, even for us. When you start putting in smartphones and tablets, computers, what used to, you have good conversation, you don't have good conversation now. You know what you see when you go out to a restaurant, you'll see a whole family sitting there and they're all like this, just looking down at a cell phone, like not even talking to each other. It's like, what's happened? But I think, have we really changed? And so because South Carolina beat Florida last weekend, I thought it'd be good to quote Frank Martin, the coach for the Carolina Gamecocks, and he said this. He says, you know what makes me sick to my stomach? When I hear grown people say that kids have changed. Kids haven't changed. Kids don't know anything about anything. We've changed as adults. We demand less of our kids. We expect less of kids. We make their lives easier instead of preparing them for what life is truly about. We're the ones that have changed. You agree with that? I do. Absolutely. And we have changed. And so the reason I put this seminar together, first, is for me. What I've found is that when I teach something, I do better at that topic. I love doing the marriage class because it helps my marriage. I love preparing parenting-type stuff or family-type stuff because it's so convicting. You can't sit there and read scripture and go, oh, I'm not going to do that. Right? It just keeps coming back over and over and over again. And anybody that does any counseling for us will tell you that the best that they do is when they counsel somebody. It's so helpful to be counseling other people. And so so I looked up some YouTube videos. I thought, oh, it'd be fun. Let's put some YouTube videos up of families arguing. And let me tell you, I couldn't find one that was appropriate. They were terrible. I mean, they're dropping F-bombs like it was cool. I mean, parents to the kids and kids to the parents and throwing stuff and hitting each other. And you know, the teenager's just sitting there like this the whole time, just recording mom going ballistic, right? And then puts it up on YouTube. I mean, man, can you imagine? And so, so here's what I've come to realize is, number one, if you're taking notes, I hope you're taking notes. Number one, words are important. Okay, words are important. Whoever made up that saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's a lie. Let me tell you, words hurt. Words can also build up, but words can hurt. And I know for me, I mean, I can go back to different things in my childhood or different things my wife said to me that I've never forgotten. Never. Because words hurt and words build. And so let's see why they're so important. Number one, words indicate the condition of our hearts, okay? Words indicate the condition of our hearts. In other words, words tell us what our hearts are all about. So Luke 6, verse 44 says this, "For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil." Now, what does the next part say? "For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." So what's Jesus saying here? He's saying, what you say is what your heart believes. It's what's in your heart. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I mean, you think about some of the things that you've said. Look what he said in Matthew 12. He says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Which tells me, okay, you can never, ever say, "I didn't mean that." Right? I mean, isn't that, otherwise Jesus is a liar. Because he says, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So what the heart is the filter. And with the overflow of the heart comes out of your mouth. And so when you say, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that." You did mean that. It's better to say, "I'm sorry for saying what I meant." Right? Because you meant it. And so the words that we use indicate the condition of our hearts. Number two, the words that we use indicate the direction of our lives. I love Andy Stanley's book called The Principle of the Path. And I know a lot of people don't like Andy Stanley. I'm not really a fan of his preaching, but boy, he's written some great books. And one of the books is called The Principle of the Path. And in this principle, he simply just says, direction determines destination. If you're going 95 north or 75 north, you'll never make it to the Everglades. It's impossible unless you turn around, even if you pray about it. You'll never make it to the Everglades. So you have to change direction because direction always determines destination. And so if you're heading in a certain way, you're going to continue to go that way until you change. Look what James says about this. He says, now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. And so what's he saying here about that part there? He's saying, listen, we got these horses, right? And if you want this huge horse to do whatever you want it to do, just put a bit in its mouth. And you can turn that horse anywhere you want to go. I remember I was in the Navy, and we were on the ship I was on. It was like a cruise ship type of, you know, wasn't like a battleship, wasn't anything cool. But we lost aft steering one time. And so the boat was literally sitting on its side. And so this wall was now the floor. And so, of course, you got to go outside and see stuff like that, you know. but went down to the machine shop, and they were working on the rudder. And you got this huge ship that's directed by this small rudder. And that's the point that James is making. And so look what he says. He says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Right? Man, you can destroy people with your tongue so quick. And so before we go forward, think about the parallel there. Small tongue, small bit. Small tongue, small rudder. And it directs huge things. And so look at what James 3 and verse 6, look what he says here. He says, the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. And then look what it says, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. So when you think about this, if you want to know the direction that your marriage is going, listen to what's said. You want to know the direction that your teenager is going, just listen to what they say. Because the tongue sets on fire the course of our life. It sets the direction for our life are the things we say. And so often, you know, when I meet with couples, I want to just go, shut up. You're saying things right now that you can't take back. And so a lot of times I'll just interrupt and go, wait. Let's just think about what you just said. Let's not go further here. Because it sets on fire the course of our lives. And once it's out there, you can't take it back, right? I mean, once it's been said, it's said. I remember my dad telling me one time, you embarrass me. Yeah. You know why? Because I didn't know that a foul ball, that I could be tagged out if I wasn't on base when the foul ball was caught. He said, you embarrass me, walk home. Probably 8 years old. Never forgot that. Look at Proverbs 12:18. He says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so the word for reckless there, if you want to change that in your notes, the word for reckless is thoughtless. Thoughtless words. And so there are some words that we say without thinking. And those are the words that are equivalent to stabbing somebody. Do you ever say something and go, oh man, I shouldn't have said that? Because if you'd have just taken some time to think about it before, you wouldn't have said it. But then once it's out, you go, I can't take it back now. And so what do you do then? Well, the solution is found in the verse. The solution is to use wise words. Okay, there's no quick fix to it. Because notice what it says. Reckless words pierce like a sword. So in other words, it stabs you, right? But the tongue of the wise brings healing. In other words, it's a process. You can't just stab somebody and go, oh, sorry. Right? I mean, you have to kind of work through, like, okay, we've got it. Maybe we need stitches. Maybe we need some alcohol if you're really tough, you know, but we've got to work through that, and it doesn't heal right away, but it pierces right away. And so we have to be very careful with what we say. And so since we're talking about direction, I know everybody in here wants to set their kids up for success. Okay, we don't want our kids to fail. We don't want our marriages to fail, right? I mean, we want success. But success and failure is different depending on the families. Some families, in fact, I was talking to a family the other day, and I said, how would you define success for your, yeah, he has a daughter, and she's 18 months. So like when you're 80 years old and you're sitting on your porch and you go, how would you know if you've been successful as a parent? He said, oh, well, I'd want her to have a good job. Not good. I want her to have a nice family. That's awesome. I want her to have, and it was just stuff. And I thought, man, that's not my goal. In fact, I don't think it's God's goal for us or for our kids. I think it's, if you read Romans 8, it's to conform us after the image of Christ. It's to make us more like Christ. So if you think about that, so what, this is what we can all agree on. Whether you, I mean, do I want my kids rich? Sure. That helps me. You kidding? Right? I mean, retirement? Heck yeah. You know, because we do teach them that they need to take care of their parents when they're old. I'd love for me to see my kids rich. But I want to instill character traits, you know? So some of the character traits, it's like I want them to be compassionate like Jesus is, and kind like Jesus is, and forgiving like Jesus is, and loving, right, and merciful, and generous. Like that's what I want for my kids. I want to instill that. And if that's what I want for my kids, then I need to be what I want them to become. Okay? So I can't be yelling at Sherry saying, talk nice to your sister. Right? I need to be what I want them to become. Chip Ingram calls it the principle of modeling. I need to model that behavior. And so look at Proverbs 20, verse 11. He says, even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. And so let's sum up all these verses here. Here's the deal. Words are so important because they indicate the condition of our hearts and they indicate the direction of our lives. And a child is known by his acts, and his acts are determined by what he does and what he says. And what he does and what he says is determined by where his heart is. So as parents, we need to reach the heart. This isn't a parenting seminar, though, right? This is a family seminar. So when we think about that as a whole, what does that mean then for our marriages? Is I need to model. I need to be what I want my kids to become. You know, words indicate the direction of our marriage and the condition of our marriage. And honestly, most of the marriage counseling that I do is teaching married couples how to resolve conflict. Most of the people that I talk to in counseling, I'll say, okay, give me an example of something that you guys have worked through in your marriage that used to be a problem. You sinned against each other, whatever, but you no longer do that. And it's not an issue at all anymore. Never gets brought up. You've worked through it. You can talk about it. Nobody gets angry. I've yet to have one couple in for counseling where they've said, been able to say anything that they've been able to work through. Most families have never actually worked through issues. They either sweep it under the rug, right? Or they just put it somewhere in case they need it later, and they bring it back out as a trump card to use later. And they just keep bringing it up over and over and over again. So words are so important. I mean, do you treat each other with respect? And as I was working through this, I thought, man, we could do the easy, you know, typical family type conference. You know what I mean? where we say, okay, you need to speak kindly to each other. Let's practice now. Okay, everybody, say something nice. Say something nice about your sister. Say something nice about your wife. Or, you know, okay, everybody good? All right, we got that now. Okay, good. Good job, guys. All right, now we need to look each other in the eyes when you talk to each other. We're not going to do that. Anybody can do that. That's common sense. Unfortunately, common sense is no longer common anymore. But the reality is what does the Bible actually say about this? Well, it says that words are important. Next one here, words are revealing. Okay, words are revealing. You know, when we use words, I was thinking about it today. I was like, wow, we use words for so many different things. When we buy a ticket, we use words. We ask for ketchup. We use words. Sometimes our words are misunderstood. Remember that story? I don't know if you guys remember. It's been a while, I guess, since I told it. Remember that story when I was in that Chinese restaurant in China? And I said, because they have the worst chopsticks there. I mean, probably the original, probably the good ones. But our chopsticks are wood, so they have a little bit of a grip on them. Theirs are porcelain. And their food is slimy. And let me tell you, I can't use them. So I go to this Chinese, and I always like to go the off the wall. I don't want to go to the tourist place. I want to go to the weird place, you know. So I go to the weird place, and I said, nobody speaks English, can I have a fork? Fork? Yeah, a fork. Fork? Went through this 3 or 4 times. She brought in somebody else. She comes. I said, I just wanted a fork. Fork? Oh, fork. Okay. So she goes and she comes back with a plate. And she puts the plate in front of me and she says, fork. And I said, thank you for the fork. But words, I mean, we use words all the time, right? I mean, if you're frustrated, then what do? Use words. Sometimes you clam up, right? Don't say anything. What's the matter? Nothing. Fine. Don't talk to me. Right? Sometimes you use words to express affection. Sometimes you use words to ask for feedback or to give feedback. Sometimes you use words to confront somebody or to encourage them. Sometimes you use words to defend yourself or defend somebody else. But words really reveal the depth of your relationship. And here's kind of really one of the things I wanted to hit on in this first session, is that you would think that the family would be the place where words are most encouraging, right? Because we love each other the most, right? We don't treat each other like that a lot of times, but the reality is we love each other the most. So you would think that the family relationship would be the place where words are most encouraging. You'd also think the family relationship would be the place where words are most helpful. You would also think the family relationship would be the place where words are given the benefit of the doubt. But in my experience, it's in the family, among those we love the most, where we find ourselves getting hurt the most and being misunderstood the most and being discouraged the most. And so premarital counseling is so much fun. Okay, when you do premarital counseling, and I'm going to give you the secret, I try to break them up. Okay, I try to get them fighting. Because when they come in, they say, oh, we have everything in common. We just love each other. We tell each other everything. Everything's so wonderful. So I do my best. I'm going to get them fighting. And if I can't get them to fight and break up, then they need to get married. Really, that's what I do. Think about the theological differences you guys are coming into. What theological difference? Well, you come from more of a charismatic background. You come from more of an evangelical background. So let's talk about those things. And all of a sudden, everybody's teachable. And then sometimes, and it's so crazy, sometimes I'll leave a premarital counseling appointment and go right into a marriage counseling appointment. Premarital counseling, they're sitting next to each other. They're all close. Like I put the chairs, you know, about that far apart. And you get them for a premarital counseling, and they come. First thing they do is scoot the chairs together. They're sitting on and hugging on each other. Like, oh, we share everything. Marriage counseling, first thing they do, grab the chairs, and they move them all the way to the sides. And they don't even know it. You can always tell how well your counseling is going by where the chairs are at. The chairs start moving closer together. Hey, you guys are doing pretty good. How'd you know? I just know. And so what happened? I mean, why did they come in? And you know what? Normally it's words. Either words that were said or words that were not said. That's kind of the root issue of so many things. Same is true in marriage. In parenting issues. Parenting is so much different than the marriage stuff because when you do the parenting stuff, okay, so you have the mom and dad and the parents, or the parents and the kids there, and mom and dads are speaking, and the kids are going like this, right? And then when kids are speaking, you know what mom and dad's doing? No, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. You say the whole story. Don't just... Words. It's the words we use. And so we all want that relationship where we can share anything. And so what I've done, I really like this. I just started using this in a lot of the counseling recently, is I've broken down the communication, whether, and I usually use it for marriage counseling because I do more marriage than anything, but we could easily take it to families as well, into five different levels. All of us want transparency in our relationships, in our families. All of us want honesty and love and compassion. Instead, we get blowing up and accusing and rolling eyes. And listen, I do think there are times to be silent. But that whole adage of, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, that whole thing, that's not good. Realistically, if you don't have anything nice to say, find something nice to say and say it. That's the reality. Is there times to be silent? Yes. Proverbs says, even a fool, when he is silent, appears wise. May not be wise, he just appears wise. And so if you're the kind of family that just kind of clams up and what'll happen is you're going to wake up one day and realize you haven't spoken about anything of substance for months or even years. And I can't tell you how many families I've had in there for counseling. And I mean, it is heated. And I'll tell them, listen, here's what's happening right now. This very well could be the last conversation you have as a family. That 20 years from now, you're going to sit down and realize, I haven't talked to my mom in 20 years. Or I haven't talked to my brother in 20 years. Why? Because of words. And then the parents, they always like make excuses for the kids, and I do too, right? Because we're parents, that's what we do. And we always say things like, oh, but he's got such a good heart. Right? Or, you know, she's really underneath it all, she's a really good kid. I appreciate that as a parent. And I don't ever say, nah, she's a dingbat, she ain't gonna make it. I don't say that, but I mean it appears like, man, what in the world is gonna happen? But here's what I love is and I was hoping Christina would be in here. Eliana was fussy tonight, so she couldn't make it. But I love how my older kids share everything with Sherry. And you're going, well, what about you? How come they don't share anything with you? I don't know. Probably something I do. I can tell you this, though. When there's something really big happening or some big crisis, they come to me. But on the relational, everyday stuff, it's Sherry. And I think that's so cool. You know, so let's talk about these levels of communication. And as we work through these, what I want you to do is I want you to see where you are in this and be real honest about it, okay? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to go, hey, so where are you guys at? What level are you on, right? So I won't do that. But the first one here is just scratching the surface, okay? You're scratching the surface. This is the lowest level. Nothing intimate is shared. We would say it's the tip of the iceberg. And so there's a lot that you may want to share, but you don't have that kind of relationship to share. You know what I mean? I mean, you might be mother-daughter, you might be husband-wife, but you don't have that kind of relationship where you can share those intimate thoughts. And so you say things like, hello, or how are you? Nice weather we had today. Boy, wasn't it beautiful out today? Okay? But there's no depth. And these are the same things that you would talk to strangers about, right? I mean, you say hi to a stranger. I mean, saw people walking in here today and saying hi to people and stuff. I didn't know, have any idea who they are. That's that relationship. It's just scratching the surface. It's professional, but not personal. By the way, and so as I work through these things, as well as I can, I'm going to try to be real transparent. This is me and my dad, even today, certainly growing up. We actually spent over 2 years. We didn't even speak a word to each other in the house. I hated him. He hated me. And I wish we didn't have that relationship. Like, I wish we could talk. I'll call him up, and I'll say, "Hey, Dad, it's Mike." He'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm good. Everything okay?" "Yeah, everything's good." "Are kids okay?" "Yeah, kids are okay." "Yeah, I'm fine, too." "Okay, see you later." That's it. It's just surfacey. And I think, man, I'd really love to just talk to my dad, you know? But we don't have that. And then he complains that we don't call him enough. I'm like, why would I? I mean, what, you know, what's in it there? So, but when a family's at this level, you're friendly to each other, right? You're professional with each other, but no more so than you'd be with a stranger. But the nice thing about being at this level is there's no fear of rejection because you're not sharing anything deep, right? Nice weather we're having today. "Ah, it's too hot." "Ah, you're a jerk." Right? I mean, it's no big deal because they're not saying anything about me. They're just saying I disagree with it being nice weather, but it's who cares? It's not a big deal, right? The second level is just the facts. Okay, it's just the facts. Conversation in this level is a little deeper, so it's more than just saying hello. Instead, you start to share what you know about something. You might even share what your day was like or how school went or news about the kids or something like that. It's more than surfacey stuff, but it's just facts. And so this is the conversation that someone... Maybe you see somebody else having a conversation somewhere, and you go and you start talking to them, and that you kind of listen to that conversation, and then you kind of butt into that conversation because you realize you have input there. Nothing real deep or anything. It's just kind of factual type stuff. You just want to give your two cents. And so you share about maybe, you know, what's for dinner. Or you share, "Oh, did you see this on Facebook?" Or you go, "Hey, this recipe that I just found. Oh, you got to taste this or that." It's a little bit past surfacey, you know, but it's just facts. And this is the kid who comes home from school and the parent says, "How was your day?" And what's he say? "Fine." "Well, what was fine about it?" "I don't know." Right? Just facts. The kid is on level one, scratching the surface. And what's mom and dad want? Well, at least get us to level two. Give me some facts about the day, right? So I say, "What was good about it? What was the favorite part of your day?" Try to get them to that next level. Okay, third level, walking on eggshells. Anybody ever done this before? Oh, man, this is a common one here. This is where you tiptoe around topics, and you kind of wait to see the response before you know if you're going to go any deeper. Right? Everybody been there? You know that, right? Okay. So you might share opinions, you might share ideas, but you do it with caution, right? Your words are very measured. And if you sense any bit of question or rejection, then you abandon the conversation, right? We've been there. We've all been there. Maybe we're there now. But when walking on eggshells, you may bring up something like, "You know, hey, I was thinking about, I don't know, I was thinking maybe we would spend Christmas with my family this year." And then if it gets, you sense some opposition or some rejection, "Oh, no, I wouldn't. I was just thinking that way. I don't know. I don't know that I really want to." You're just walking on eggshells. You may say something about, "You know, that vacation, man, I'd really like to go, but just don't know that it will fit in our budget. Or like that car, I know we need one. I don't know if it fits into our budget or not." But then when it's, "Well, what do you mean it won't fit in our budget?" "Oh, no, no, I wasn't saying. I didn't say it was a sure thing. I'm still trying to crunch the numbers." You see what that looks like? That tiptoeing around, like, just, "I don't know. Is it safe here? Can I go there? Can I talk about that?" And you're just waiting. You can't be real honest, and you can't be real upfront because you don't know what the response is going to be like. And the reality is, as family members, we know which buttons to push, don't we? I mean, you know how to say it and what to say. And you know, oh man, If I want to get mom freaked out, all I got to do is say this. You know, if I want to get my husband all worried about it, all I got to say is this. And so, eggshell, man, those are hard. And we've had kids, we've had in our marriage times when it's just like, I don't know if this is safe. Can I say this? Can I not say that? And so the eggshell level of communication is hard because you want to go deeper, but there's no safety. So you want to get to that level four, but it's not safe to go to level four. And so as mom and dad pushes to the next level, you know, how are you? Fine. How was your day? Fine. Okay. Come on. It's more than fine. Okay. I had a bad day. What was so wrong about it? Because my teacher gave me an F on my paper. And then you know what our response is? Well, you should have studied. Well, if you wouldn't have been watching TV last night instead of studying, then maybe you wouldn't have got an F on your paper. You think that she's going to come talk to you next time? It's not safe. You see how easy this is to slip into that? One of my kids were talking about wanting to go back to Ukraine and Greece this year. And so we went last year, and man, it was a blast. You know what my initial reaction was? Is to say, you realize how much that cost us last year to go there? There is no way. Maybe in 2 or 3 years we could do that again. Definitely not this year. But I realized, man, if I do that, if I just squish that, that's it. She's not going to talk again. And so I said, wouldn't that be fun? I would really love to go to Ukraine and Greece again this year. Boy, wouldn't that be fun? That was so much fun last year. What was your favorite part about last year? What was the favorite part you did? Oh, when we were jumping off this in Greece. Oh, yeah, that was so cool. What did you like best about Ukraine? Oh, I like the people there. I like riding horses or whatever. Man, that was so cool. Wasn't that cool? So can we go? Well, I'd love to go. I don't know if it'll work, but if it'll work, I want to go too. So when we don't do that, so we have this name in our house, and we call it the big idea squisher. Okay, so I'm the idea guy. Sherry's the practical one, you know? And so I'm going, oh, what if we went to Ukraine and then to Greece? And Sherry says, oh, we don't have enough money for that. I don't want to say we're going to go. I'm just saying, wouldn't that be cool? And she's like, yeah, but I mean, why even dream about it? Because we can't go, right? And we say, you're the big idea squisher. So it's all in fun. But I mean, that's kind of the idea behind that is you have a big idea squisher in your house. And Sherry's not that way, but that's the idea. But if you do that, if you start squashing ideas, if you start to defend the teacher, and listen, I'm not the guy that says kids are right and parents and teachers are wrong. That's not me. If anything, I fall on the opposite side of that, is you did something wrong, that's why your coach doesn't like you. Okay, that's more where I lie. So I have to battle against that. But I've realized that if I don't have their backs, they're not going to talk to me anymore. Hey, I want our home to be a refuge where our kids and where my wife can speak openly without walking on eggshells. And I've realized that the way that I respond when I communicate determines how much of that will happen. And you remember you used to say, pick your battles, right? That's good advice. I heard something recently, and I thought, oh, that's even better. And that was, don't shoot everything that moves. That's me. Don't shoot everything that moves. Let's pick the battle. You know, if it's little, that's okay. Let them dream. You know, don't squish every little thing. That's so frustrating. In fact, it would actually... In the marriage relationship, it leads to bitterness, okay? It leads to isolation when every little thing. In a parenting relationship, I believe I believe that Ephesians 6, parents do not provoke your children to anger. I believe you provoke your children to anger when you do that. I can tell you my kids get provoked to anger when I shoot every little thing that they do wrong. And they get so frustrated, and it's so hard for them. And so pick your battles. Number four, fourth level, is risky but rewarding, okay? Now is when you start taking some risk. And I say risk because now you start worrying about feelings. But if you don't take the risk, then your relationship can't grow. This is also where you start getting hurt. This is where you start sharing things about yourself, or you share things about your spouse, or your marriage, or the kids, or your life, and your spouse may not agree with it. It may lead to hurt. And maybe you want to talk about, you know, you're really harsh with the kids. You're really overbearing. And because that's really risky, isn't it? Because what kind of response am I going to get from that? You know? And so, or you say something like, man, you know, it's been a long time since we've had a date night. It's been a long time since you've just taken the kids out and done something with them. And then it becomes, do you realize how much I work? I don't have time for that. I am so tired. And I work hard so that you don't have to work hard. And I'm trying and trying and trying. And then I come home and the first thing you tell me is I need to spend more time with the kids and we need to go out to dinner on a date. You see what can happen? It's risky. When you start to engage in those kinds of conversations, you're not tiptoeing around anymore. You're saying this needs to happen. Very, very risky. But if it works, boy, it's rewarding, isn't it? I mean, what if you say, you know, boy, the way you disciplined was really harsh. You know what? You're right. I need to go apologize. That changes it, doesn't it? It's been a long time since we've had a date night, just me and you together. You know what? You're right. I've focused way too much on work. I'm so sorry about that. Let's get Friday night, me and you. I'll organize it. That changes it, doesn't it? Changes everything, just the outlook of how you do it. But so the risk and reward side. So it's high risk because there's a lot at stake. But if you don't engage in those kind of conversations, you're never going to get the rewards. Think about this. What if you never have that conversation? What if you never have that conversation about the direction that your child is heading? What happens to the kid? What if you never have that conversation about the direction your marriage is heading? What happens to your marriage? See, this is high risk, high reward area here. And you see it all the time. And so you see this, you know, my kid won't talk to me. It may be the heart of a rebellious kid, but it may be because of the way you responded in those risk-reward things. Or it may be, and this is what I hear a lot too, you make everything a big deal. Why do you make everything a big deal? Or the kid responds in anger, the parent doesn't know what to do. So you know what happens though? When you go from risky but rewarding or eggshells and it doesn't turn out the way you want, you know what happens? Boy, nice weather we're having today. Right? It goes right back to the beginning. It goes right back to where you started from. And then everything in your conversation is now guarded. And so let's look at number five and we'll finish this and then we'll take a little break. Is truth and love. Truth and love. And this is where you're completely open and honest with each other. Okay? Total transparency. You share your heart. You share your doubts. You share your fears. You share your insecurities. You share your struggles. You share frustration. You share your concerns. You share your hurts. And there's no fear of judgment or reprisal. That you can do it. You can't go from one to five. Right? You can't just, and that's what a lot of us want to do, especially with our kids, is we say, okay, look, I know things haven't been going very well. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Okay, so tell me about your new boyfriend. No. I don't want to talk about that. See, you're trying to get down to five. You've really got to work through one, two, three, and four first. It takes time. It's not quick. And so if You can share to the point of where, I mean, there's no secrets. You can share anything. The frustrations, the hurts, how insecure you are. If your husband or your wife or your kid or your parent even has developed some unhealthy habits or started doing it, like you can share honestly and not worry about being condemned about it. I mean, what's weird in our house is, and I don't know if you guys, I guess nobody in here, I don't think, struggles with this as we do, but we have older kids and little kids. Okay? So you know what the older kids do is they know how to parent. They think we forgot how to parent now. And so my older kids now will tell us when we do wrong or when they think we do wrong. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I appreciate on one side because I appreciate that they feel the freedom to have the input that they can talk to me as a peer even. Because, I mean, they're grown. They're out of the house. Like, I appreciate that. I don't really like it, though. You know? I'm thinking, I wiped your butt, child. But it's kind of weird, you know, when we discipline Hannah and Sam and Hope are there going, we wouldn't ever do that when we're parents. And it would get me angry, and I'd just go off on them. You know what I'll say now? Is I'll say, what would you do? What would you do differently? And you know what their answer is? It's so funny. I hate that this is being recorded. But I remember Hope said, I don't know. I just know I wouldn't do that. I thought, oh, you're brilliant, you know. But you can talk about anything. When you can share truth in love, you can talk about anything. Finances, right? You can talk about where we're going for holidays, and you give each other the benefit of the doubt. To get to this level of communication, you have to develop deep, deep trust, deep commitment, deep friendship. Okay, you can't jump to five. You can't skip through the other ones. And each depth of communication enables you to go to the next level. And so the question becomes, okay, so how do we get there to the truth and love side of things, right? That's what everybody's asking. So I told you we'll do that in the second session. So we'll take about a 10-minute break here. You guys grab something to eat and drink, and then we'll come back.